Education to order. Please call the roll. Mr. Brandt, here. Mr. Morlock?
Present.
Mr. Swanger? Here. Mrs. Blankenship?
Present.
Mr. Hunter?
Here.
Mr. Hall, present. Mr. Fanning, will you please lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Does anyone have anything for the board work session this evening?
Mr. Chairman, I have just a couple items that are short tonight. Board meeting at Toll's is Thursday night of this week, which unfortunately for me is the same night as the impact meeting. So I probably won't make the impact meeting. So count on you guys to figure it out. Anyway, we're in the process of doing our evaluations at Toll's at the present time. We're about 2/3 of the way through that process. We continue to try and improve and grow our adult program up there. We are looking at and doing research right now on putting in a logistics program. This will be an adult program starting next year or next fall. And hopefully that's going to be held in Southern Madison County. So our people in our area will have access to this, and hopefully we can get some people trained for some of those 80,000 jobs that are out there, all of which pay very well and which the state of Ohio has nobody trained to do. So we're looking at doing that. Again, we have a board meeting at Toll's on Thursday, so I'll have a report on that at the next meeting. Thank you.
I have just one quick thing, Mr. President. I attended last week the Jefferson School Board meeting just to try to encourage them to come to the spring conference next month, and I'll let them know that I'm the president of the Central Region and introduce myself to them. I know a few of them, but not all of them. While I was there, I had a chance to sit and talk with a fellow named Fred Bowditch. He is from... well, he's working with the security administration for the federal government, and he has free services to school boards to analyze their safety and security systems. And I know that was something that we had talked about before, and we have something on the agenda tonight regarding that. And he gave me his card, and Boone, I'd like to shoot this over to you after the meeting so that you can give him a call and he can come out and give us a little how we're doing type of deal. He did a full evaluation of the stuff for the Jefferson schools and was with them when they ran through some of their tests that they had and some of their scenarios, and they did a real good job over there and had some great ideas that they can do, and they implemented those. So perhaps he can have some additional information for us once we start getting the ball rolling for us. But it was a free service, he said, and I told him the price was right, and that in particular you would appreciate that, Boone. So I'll give this to you after the meeting, and we'll go from there. That's it.
And I apologize. The evaluations, Don and I are still working on those. We don't have anything to present to you tonight. Some schedule conflicts over the past month, so we will work on those and get together. It's going to take more than an hour or two, though, isn't it, Don?
Yeah, I'm sure.
And also, the district leadership team met last Tuesday night to begin the Madison Plains improvement process. It's modeled after the Ohio improvement process, and I'm not going to steal Boone's thunder because I know you have that in your presentation. So. Anyone else for work session items? Public communication. No one signed up to speak. Is there anyone here that wants to speak that didn't have a chance to sign up? on with the approval of the minutes. I'll have a motion for this.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the minutes of the January 15th, 2013 meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Motion by Don, seconded by Ken. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Mr. Detweiler, do you have a financial report for us this evening?
Yeah. I handed out to you two pieces of paper here this evening, two handouts. It's the permanent improvement fund activity. Just a quick look at that. We do have it in the reports on the board docs. However, when you bring it up, it's too small. So all I wanted to do was, since we are on the ballot for May for the permanent improvement, want to put together the activity that we've had this year, as well as the historical analysis shows the last 5 years. You can see we budgeted $576,000 to be spent this year. We typically receive about $320,000, so we do have carryover. We've spent so far this year about $184,000 of that. We've listed out those actual expenditures. And then we've got the outstanding purchase orders, and you'll notice in that column things like the middle school building improvements, $11,000 for building security. You can go right on down the line and see those are the kind of things that are pending. You can see where we purchased the iPads. Spent $54,000 at the junior high, spent another $28,000 at the high school for iPads and the saw stop, table saw, which I don't know if even most of you know about that, but we did buy a saw that has the automatic stop and the touch of skin. So those are the kind of things that are being bought. And this is the kind of list that we'll have out on our website for the public to look and see what we're buying. The other page was just simply shows this year's activity, the revenues and expenditures, but it also shows the 5 years previous total, so you can get an idea for the last 5 years in which we've had this levy, how we spent the money. Spent $1.8 million out of the PI fund. Of course, the largest amount of that was $1 million, and of course, this building and the junior high building. But you can take a look at that at your leisure, and this will be available to the public out on the website. Also, the appropriation amendment tonight, I'll be asking you to approve that amendment. There are several things that we had to update. Can pull that up. You also should have a copy of that. Again. One of the largest things we had to do was we needed to transfer $489,000, almost $490,000, and we did not have that appropriated. And as the audit committee met tonight, one of the things that they were stressing is to make sure that we have all of our appropriations in place before we spend dollars, which we typically do. We had some small amounts that caused a comment in the management letter this year, not in the actual audit report, so we're still fine. It's a clean audit report. But this is one of those things we have to do. The $490,000 is for that transfer that we made from the retirement incentive fund back to general fund. So we had to budget for that. Salaries, that's just cleanup for us finalizing our numbers for this year. Supplementals the same way. Looks like a lot of money, but when you're looking at salaries, we're several millions of dollars. $84,000 is very small potatoes, but we have to get things covered. And the other piece that was significant, the PI fund, $132,000 in new appropriations over what you approved initially. And again, those reflect back on the list that I already gave you, showing things like building security and transportation facility costs and things like that. So that's what you'll be voting on tonight as far as increases to the appropriation resolution. Okay. And again, I did mention we did have the audit committee meeting prior to this meeting. just simply to go over the audit findings. There was nothing in the audit report. Management letter had two insignificant recommendations. That's why they have a management letter, so it does not get put in the audit report. And other than that, clean audit. So with that, I ask that we approve my
The appropriation resolution, that's for the state, the ODE, is that right, for what our budget is for the state?
No, actually, the appropriation resolution is our appropriations that the board is basically authorizing the superintendent and the purchasing agent to spend those dollars, and it acts as a governor for me to say, yes, you do have the monies available, Mr. Superintendent, or you do not, based on what the board has approved. And then these appropriations go to the county auditor. And the county auditor takes that and compares it to your actual total resources to make sure you're not overspending your total resources. So you actually get, there's several counterbalances within that whole process. ODE gets our 5-year forecast.
Just the forecast, okay.
Tim, a couple questions on the financial summary. I noticed in 2010, it still has a balance of like $1,900, class of 2010.
Very possible. And they can keep that balance on our books forever.
Can they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was just wondering if maybe they, since they have that and they've already graduated, if maybe they want to donate that to like
They can do that. They can. All they need at this point is their class president to sign off saying, yes, please donate it there. So If somebody wanted to reach out to them and say, hey, they might do that.
Okay. Mr. Clark here.
Is he hiding?
Oh, there he is. I was going to say, maybe he could remember who that was and reach out to him and see if they wanted to do that.
I'll check into it.
Okay, thanks. Also, my other question, just in concern, is I noticed we're still with junior high and middle school athletics, we're still about $15,000.
Make sure you're looking at the correct column there. If you look at the far right, that's after. If we spent everything we had in purchase orders, Then you'd be in the red. If you looked at the column just to the left of the encumbrances, you see that we're in the black. And the junior high, if I'm remembering right, is about $600 in the red. At least as of today.
What page are you? There it is. I found it.
What page is it?
Page 6.
Okay, I'm just coming to.
Near the bottom.
Not 6 on the line. Let me look back here.
It's your first 300. Yeah. Junior high athletics. Let's see. If you look at it. Current fund balance is what you want to look at. Now that tells you what your cash is on hand. Your encumbrances are what you have appropriated or encumbered as a PO, and you may or may not spend that money. So if you look at the current fund balance, let me slide on down here to athletics. You can see junior high has $21,000, mm-hmm. and the high school has $47,000. Now they have some outstanding POs out here.
Right.
That we have to look at.
Yeah, and
I
then
said that wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah, those are the expenditures.
They have $5,300 with $15,000 in outstanding POs. But and then $5,300 would be their ending balance for junior high if they spend all that money. And Matt and I have been talking about this, about watching those POs and see if we're actually going to spend all that money or not.
Right.
And the time for us to have our sit down is right after the last basketball game. Because then from that point forward, you really don't have
any income coming in. Yeah,
so
that's
we'll
what I was concerned about.
Where we stand, so.
Yeah, I was just concerned because I knew once the season was over, spring season doesn't bring anything in.
Right. What's critical for athletics is those outstanding POs at this point and the finishing up the basketball season, how much money we bring in.
Mm-hmm.
So we are watching it. I always caution the board when they look at that financial summary, that last column is always going to be the ugliest number.
Mm-hmm.
But most of those POs are never completely filled because we always tell people to put their POs in as a high estimate.
Right.
So they don't have to keep coming back and asking for more.
What those are.
Right. So when those get closed out, that money comes right back in. So.
Okay.
moving on with the financial action items, I have a motion for item one.
I make a motion that upon the recommendation of the treasurer, the January 2013 financial statements be accepted as presented.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Go ahead.
I'll second.
Motion by Linda, second by Ken. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brand?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yeah.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Do I have a motion for item two?
I'll make a motion that upon recommendation of the treasurer, the board approve the bank resolution as presented.
I'll second. Motion by Linda, seconded by myself. Discussion?
We did have several of our banks express interest and submit proposals. First Merit, by far, was the most interested, provided the best proposal, and actually they have a huge book of business with schools, but they're located in the Akron area, and they stretch from Akron all the way down to Columbus, and we're their most westerly school at this point. They're trying to get a presence in Madison County, so they hope to, I think they sweetened the pot for us a little bit, and that's a good thing.
Please call the roll.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Brand?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Do I have a motion for item three?
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the treasurer, the board approve the amended appropriation resolution as presented.
I second that.
Motion by Ken, seconded by Don. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brain?
Yes.
Motion carries, and thank you.
Next segment, I'll turn over to Mr. Hall for the superintendent report.
Thank you, Mr. Brain. A couple things standing in front of you. Thanks to our impact group that meets almost every 2 weeks now for you is some info that we put out that we'll be passing out to the community to say, hey, here's what your money is going for. We need your help. In May, the other little item that the impact group came up with was the stickers. I also laid a sample on your that you can wear that or place it somewhere and just remember. And Bob Buss was supposed to outfit everyone out there.
I'm sorry.
But we have what, 1,500 of those stickers? So we'll be passing them out friendly. This particular item was also given to our teachers at a parent teacher conference that made them available to the parents. So if the parents ask and the teachers to talk about it and hand them one of these little things that help them out, we think it's pretty informative. Goes right along with what Tim presented in his two-page on the PI fund, exactly what that fund is used for, how it's used to the penny, and that's the way we like to keep it. The other item that I have, I'm going to skip a couple here, go down to just make you aware that we have a couple route changes on our buses. People, you're talking to people. We put another bus in the Mount Sterling area in hopes of cutting down some of the overload and also move some routes back. Some of them, in fact, in the South Solon area that we had some overload problem, and we reshipped some routes to take care of that. So we are getting a couple more drivers on board, and I think we have one other area that's up by the Madison Lake that's a little overloaded that we're looking at to make some changes. Otherwise, pretty much set. I've had a couple comments from parents, you know, why can't we continue on? I like this bus driver. Well, I have some people like bus driver, and I have other people don't like the bus driver, and other people don't like the crowdedness, so we have to make a decision on what's best for kids. Also, you might notice in the intermediate, we're putting in some new windows. These are windows that have been identified as about ready to fall out or water running through them in rainstorms. We are putting some new windows in as we, each year we'll put, every other year we'll put so many windows, depending on their condition. And just make you aware, we did have another steam leak in the 4-6 yesterday that we've got shut off right now. It's going to have some attention here next, probably by the weekend. The other thing that I have goes along with the DLT. The DLT meaning District Leadership Team, but Mike Brandt is on that team, plus all the administrators in here, plus 3 or 4 parents. And what that DLT does, it sets up a sort of a framework that we will go over. We go over with the board rather hurriedly because a lot of these people in here have heard this report from me a couple times. But we got with your mission statement that is also posted around the buildings. We got sort of an awakening back in early September when we looked at our grade cards on the dispatch, and a lot of people were very unhappy, mad that our scores are no better than what they show, because we felt like we do a lot of work. We feel like a lot of teachers and administrators jump in and do what's expected and sometimes more. We know we have some problems in some areas, but overall, we think we do a pretty good job. And why doesn't our score show this? Well, from that, we started doing a little research, and that's when we saddled up and went to some schools that were actually comparable to Madison Plains. Not saying Miami Trace is comparable, but we did go down and visit with Miami Trace that had an excellent with distinction rating and has for the last couple, 3 years. We went north to Norway, to Tuscarawas, several schools up there and said, hey, what are you guys doing that causes you to get the excellent with distinction on your grade card? And what we found out, a lot of things that they were doing, we were doing also. But they were doing one thing that we felt like that we need to zero in on. That was to zero in, to focus in on a few things instead of, as we put it, a silo of different things. So that's what we're going to do with the DLT. We're going to share with the board. This is the board segment that we're going to bring you up to snuff with the DLT and keep you in the loop as we go through this. And I said, Mike is part of that group. We went to Norway, and here's what we saw. We saw Norway local schools that is somewhat just like Madison Plains. Look at seventh grade, look at their scores, then look across for 4 or 5 years and see how those scores pretty much went on an upward. And they felt like because of zeroing in on a few areas and making that the focus is why their scores continue to rise and over the period of time. And if you flip ours up, next one, Tim. If you go down to seventh grade in Madison Plains, you can see where we started, and you can see where we were sort of up and down as like a roller coaster, which is not good. So from that we started digging things out that we felt like were the problems. In our discussion, one of the big things that we talked about with the impact group, with the administrators and with the impact group, but we seem to talk about things, but when they go in behind closed doors and there's different things going on. So that's when we said, hey, we're going to look at this thing. We're going to come up with a menu that we want people to eat off of at Madison Plains, and that's what we expect our instructions to be. In other words, if we pick out 3 to 4 focus areas, that's the way we want it to be dealt with. And you'll see here in a couple minutes what I'm talking about. And also with to get the excellence, we went a little bit more than the OIP. And we said, hey, we don't want our cafeterias to do their part. We want transportation to do their part. Matt, we want coaches to do their part. We don't want kids ridiculed or whatever. We want them part of this plan. And we sort of stepped out of the total guidelines of OIP, and so we went back to the MPIP, Madison Plains Improvement Plan. And I'll go through this rather hurriedly. And also, Karen, all you guys jump in whenever you see a... So we dug into the basic core instruction, and we talked about what are we doing? Math, reading, science, social studies, these core things that we're doing every day. How are we dealing with this thing? Come to find out, our core instruction that we're dealing with every day takes second fiddle to other things. This is what we're graded on, but we schedule everything else around our core instruction. What do I mean? Sometimes we will change our math times or another time to do band or do course. Now don't get me wrong, band and course is as important as anything else. That, you know, we want a well-rounded student. But this is what we found with our core instruction. This is what we said we're going to have to look at that. And this is going to have to take priority. How we lay this out yet, we haven't got the final details, but it will be before next school year. That's our hoping. This instructional framework, everything we do with our instruction has to be based on data. Not that I like to do this because I've always done it, but it has to say, hey, data shows that we need to do this. And we have that type of data now that we can actually go to rather hurriedly and make these decisions. And schedule changes. You know, we're in this 5 days a week, 9 to 9:20, you go to social studies, just like clockwork. Well, we think we got to look at these schedule changes. We have to look at double blocking of time. We have to look at the way we put band our students, which is somewhat a different philosophy for me, how we band our students and put them into these different schedules to give them the help they need. Basically, as you know, the core, common core, adopted by 40-some states, 46 states, that said, hey, if you're in kindergarten, this is what we expect you to know. If you're in second grade, this is what we expect you to know, so forth and so on. If a kid goes from here and goes to London in kindergarten or sixth grade, they should be pretty much covering the same thing. That's the good part of the core curriculum, which we think is very good. I think it's the best thing since Kellogg's Cornflakes when it comes to getting everyone on the same page. So what we're saying here to our community is the core curriculum is really to expect every student to know what to do. Every student. And when that learning doesn't happen, or when the learning is happening, what do we base that on? I think this kid knows this, he knows this or he knows that. No, it's based on a benchmark where that kid came in. In a minute you'll see why we have to deal with that. And when this procedure of learning doesn't happen, what are we going to do to intervene? How are we going to change our methodologies? How are we going to do our interventions? How are we going to better blend our technologies that we have a good wrapping of to make this happen for every kid? Remember, what we are somewhat accustomed to is teaching to the center, and this is what's killing us. We're getting the achievement for the most part, but we're not getting the growth of every child, whether it's what you consider low or whether you consider the high. In fact, our high kids is really what's bringing us down on the value added or on the growth, because they're not making that growth. First century skills, Don and I, we talk about this all the time, and you hear that all the time. Embedded in the core curriculum are 21st century skills. I'm going to pass around while I'm talking about that. I'm going to pass around some examples. When you start at kindergarten, you can see how this, what's expected at kindergarten. This deals with collaboration. communication. And right on up through sixth grade, and you can see the progression of this core curriculum from kindergarten through sixth. You can see it all the way through eighth. So what we're looking at is in the 21st century skill, this highway, this Route 21, we're asking the Board of Education, I'm going to ask you this, our DLT is going to ask you, the Board of Education, do you want to educate kids for the past the way we were, or do you want to educate kids for the future? We think it has to be the future. We think there's jobs out there, as Karen keeps reminding us, there's jobs out there that's not even we know of yet that we have to train students for. We're looking for people that can critically think, communicate, collaborate, be creative, self-direct. This is 21st century skills. That is all the way through our Common Core. And if you flip down to the next slide, I got a system I call tag with Lori, and I was tagging Lori one day, and we went into the we went into a couple classrooms, and these 21st century skills, here's what we were seeing. Even today, we're not waiting, you know, things are going on today that we're not really got under our umbrella yet, but they're happening on Dale to Luke. Right. In one of the math classes, I think it's Mr. Miller's class, instead of doing page 17 with doing the multiplications, you know, so fast in 10 minutes or whatever, this was a group activity that the fifth graders were doing as a group. They were talking, they were strategizing, they were getting their acts together to come up with this bottom line. This is different than what you and I were, how you and I were taught. They would set you down and say, here's a problem, you work it out. Now you sit down with 8 or 10 people and come up with some type of a procedure. It's difficult for kids. Another example, when I think this, the next was in a fourth grade classroom where they were working with equivalent fractions. Again, they give the kids a problem, give them different examples, and they work through it. Collaboration again. And kids are getting better at it. I think the administrators will tell you that. Now, we still have to know our multiplication tables and a few other things. Basically, this is the way we have to educate kids today. And this is what our DLT will set the framework when we set the tentacles down to the building level team and the teacher level team right on down. And certainly the board, you'll see where the board comes in here later on.
This is a PDF, not PowerPoint. It's all struggling.
The rest of these slides are just about the actual OIP process and the process we're going through. Flip over here.
Tim's our facilitator, that's why we have him. He does a good job of that, so we deal with him right off the bat.
Thanks. The OIP process is facilitating district-wide improvement in instructional practices of student performance. It's a framework the state of Ohio developed with Ohio Leadership Academy. ODE has adopted it. They push it out to schools. It's on their website. It's on the OLAC website. We're using it. We started out, it's kind of funny, we started out with, hey, we need to come up with a plan, and we started developing this whole thing, and then we had our first meeting, and Karen wisely said, why don't you just use the OIP, because it's already done. I said, well, okay, we'll do that. So we switched quickly, so we didn't have to reinvent the wheel. There's 7 core principles of the OIP. I'm not going to go through those, but the number one is a focused plan that aligns with your vision, mission, and philosophy. What you find in most school districts that aren't doing OIP, they have several initiatives going on with lots of plans and lots of goals. And we said, Moon used the analogy of a train. When you've got a train, and that's the school district, but there's tracks going everywhere with all these different initiatives. And we're trying to get on one track with everybody going the same direction. And that's what this OIP is supposed to help you do. We may change this a little bit based on our last meeting, but it still, for the most part, works. This structure is a picture of our school. The community is, of course, the base of our school district. The Board of Education is their elected representative, so they're next in line. And then we have down here goals, timeline, and manager for each one of these pillars. And, for example, this is the race to the top pillar, and they have their own goals, they have their timeline, and they have someone who's responsible for managing that process. Next to that, you have the CCIP, which is the continuous improvement plan that we have to do for ODE to get our federal dollars. Then you have high schools that work right beside that, which is the high school initiative. Impact, which is our local advisory council. Then you have all our different departments, which we put underneath operations, and then our support groups. Each one of these groups, as Mr. Hall said earlier, needs to develop their own goals that they have, a timeline, and somebody to manage those goals and make sure that they get an attempt to accomplish those goals. The roof over all this, you have the teacher-based teams, which will be at the building level and teacher-driven. You have the building leadership teams, which will be principal-driven, and then you have the district leadership team, which is superintendent-driven. And this will be a circular motion of these three groups. What I mean by that, as they come up with different ideas and initiatives and strategies, that'll be pushed up to the BLT. He'll look at that and swirl it around a little bit, and then it'll be pushed up to DLT and vice versa. It'll be a constant communication between the three different groups. What I see from this, it tries to do, it takes away that top-down administration pushing down edicts of here's what you're going to do. It's more of a, here's some things we want you to work on. We push that to the BLT. They brainstorm and figure out ways that they can get it done. They push it down to the teachers, and they chew on it, and they figure out even better ways, and it comes back to DLT, and it's just a constant motion. And then at the top, of course, is the improvement process, and our little flag is our the goal that Mr. Hall set out at the beginning of this whole process was excellent with distinction in everything that we do at Madison Plain. This is very difficult to read, but we needed to put this together. All this is just a chart that shows all of our committees that are working. They may not have a pillar in the previous slide, but they are important. We have everything from dual enrollments to the Board of Education, curriculum mapping committee right now. All those things are part of this process right now. This you'll see a lot of. This is straight out of the OIP's PowerPoint presentation that we stole. It's the four stages of the improvement process. Stage one is identifying critical needs. Stage two is developing a focus plan. Stage three is to implement and monitor your plan. And within stage three, they have what they call the five-step process. And that's the process you use in any decision-making process. And you'll hear a lot about that from now on. We heard from a gentleman last week who's an expert in the area that that's one of the core components of the whole OIP process. You'll evaluate the improvement process in step four to see how it's going, and then you start over at step one. This is a never-ending process of improvement. So as we develop those goals and strategies for this year going into next year, as we get those started, we'll see DLT will be taking a bite out of something else, saying, okay, what are we going to do next? So you're never satisfied with where you're at, and that's the way it should be. District leadership team, I don't know if you want to go into any detail with that, Boone, or?
No, we have copies, right?
Yeah.
Basically, it just lays it out. This OIP is a process, as Kim said, that the state has developed, has been pretty effective. However, there's about 300 school districts in the state of Ohio that is not on an OIP program, and we don't have to be at this time. We're getting close. If you're looking at the DLT, the purpose and the umbrella of what we're talking about, this is basically a few of the things that reaches down and said, hey, we're going to set goals and time spans on these focus areas. We're going to rely on student data to drive any decision that we make. Will we buy more iPads, textbooks, whatever? All this comes as a result of that, so forth and so on. Even down, as I said, the procedure for updating all areas, athletic, booster groups, food service, building maintenance. What part do these people actually do to make it a better place for kids to come? Sometimes a bus driver can set the stage for that kid all day long. Or sometimes if I get each breakfast, if a cook is is rather harsh or mean to the kid, that sets the tone. We want everyone tell us, hey, how are you going to be better with what you're doing here with each kid?
We want to talk about who's on the committee, the DLT. That's what we told them, what the makeup is.
DLT is all myself, Tim is our facilitator, Mike is representing from the board, all the administrators, Karen, Joe, and we have three parents that are part of the group. About 20-some on the, and
teachers.
Three or four teachers from each of the buildings has a teacher that will work with the group. And I'm going to stop. Karen, do you have something that you want to add, or any other, Trish or Lori, Joe? If you get the next slide, I just want to make the board aware of this. These four areas really caught our attention when we got to working with this. Why can't we make value added? Why can't we make student growth? And we came down and we looked at that value added, which is student growth, and under some of the things we think will help improve student growth. Another thing that we feel is why we're not making that excellent distinction, we have to look at our achievement. Does an A actually mean an A when this kid gets an A or a B? We have people going to college that have to take remedial courses. 67 to 77% of all kids that go to higher education have to take remedial courses. And if you go back with some of our kids and we look at their grades, guess what kind of grades they got? A's and B's. But they go to some of the higher education, they have to take remedial courses. So that tells us our achievement, we're whitewashing what we're trying to do. So do we change that 93 to 100? Do we change what that grade actually means? Do we change that? Do we give that kid a grade because if he comes in with a low grade and we allow he or she to do an extra paper to get a better grade, are we doing a justice to that kid? We say no. We say this is what pulling our value added, where our kids are not making growth. Being student-centered. Culture shift. We talked to the board here tonight, that's going to be a culture, something that the board really has to chew on. It's a different way of looking at it. If that kid normally gets A's and have gotten A's all through school, that no longer gets an A because of whatever, the board's going to have to say, hey, look, here's our plan. And we have to communicate that out to our teachers. We have to communicate that to our parents to say, hey, if you get an A, or whatever, it's what you've earned. And this Board of Education has to realize that we still have the ABCD, as you well know. Now, how long did we educate in the past? ABCD is what we're accustomed to. We're saying we're going to have to look at how we show growth through the Common Core by the standard base. Some other way besides A, B, C, and D, because it's not telling what kids actually can do. Now that's going to be a hard sell. We're going to have to pick up our rigor and our grading policy. I am elated that we had six people at graduation that were hired. But think, a couple of those people that I know of went on to college, had to take remedial courses that couldn't. So is our standard in that area need to be looked at? The rigor? This is what we're talking about.
Boone, you threw out a number of the percentage of kids taking remedial classes, and I think that was around 70%. Is that nationwide,
that's
statewide,
a nationwide
or is that Madison Plains?
No, that's a nationwide state.
Do you know what ours is?
I don't know exactly what ours is.
Do you want me to talk about
sure,
that just a little bit? One of the things that is changing right now is the Governor's Association, along with the College Board, has come to an agreement on what our minimum ACT-SAT scores that would require remedial courses. Because there has been a tendency to put lots of kids in remedial courses that may or may not, we're not sure. So ACT-SAT scores are now going to have a minimum based for remedial courses. One of the things that we as a district need to do is to make sure that all of our kids reach that or higher, so that they are not taking remedial courses, their parents aren't paying extra for college courses that really don't count for credit towards graduation, but they're courses that they have to take. So that's something that we're going to have to work on as a district, is looking at how many of our kids actually get those minimum scores so that they can be deemed remediation free when they get to college. One of the ways to do that is to look at our history of ACT-SAT scores, but then also to start talking about and thinking about some of the end of course exams that ACT has created for our high school courses, that we could be looking at some of our high school kids or all of our high school kids taking those end of course exams, because then we would have a picture of each course and how that course is contributing to that student's overall progress and their ability to be ready for college when they're there. So that's just a consideration for us.
What it is, you follow this trend up with the, we have third grade guarantee, really our first check. And we have the 08A through the eighth grade that gives us a benchmark on every kid. But in the high school right now, we do not have any way to track and have data that we can follow kids. So make the board aware now that there might be some major changes into the course exams. That came up on some of our reasons why we're not getting that into the course exam. That is rather costly, but in a couple years we have to do it anyway. So we're strongly looking at $14,000 to $15,000 just to put into the high school this end of the course exams that allows kids to see what they know and what they don't know. And hopefully those ACT, as Karen, and ACT scores benefit from that, and in the long run the parents benefit from it. So it's a lot of things it costs some dollars, but there's a lot of things that we think we're doing already that we can offset that, but we have to put those things in now. We have to get that 2 or 3 years data so we can see how to adjust, especially at our high school level, to do that.
Right, because right now we just don't have any measures that tell us how successful our high school courses are being at preparing kids for college and careers.
And until it's too late, they take the ACT or SAT, and then
they
realize.
And then they have to take the class, right. Extra classes, yeah.
That coupled with the grading policy, it's no good to go through here and get A's and B's, and then if they're going to get a college, you're going to take the ACT or SAT or both, and then end up getting a 16 on their ACT or something, and not be able to get into a college, have to go to a vocational or something. So.
And we could be doing some interventions and remediations before that happens. You know, if we had the knowledge that they weren't scoring as high on each of those classes as they need.
Yeah, it's all great and it's nice we're talking about this right now, but you keep talking about getting data, right? You got two pieces of data right here in front of you. I'd like you to answer to. You went up to Norway and you look at Norway's since 2006 to 2012, and you talk about how we have our ups and downs. If you look at theirs, they have ups and downs too, right? But they always average out in the end, last year in the 90s, which they've done periodically all the way through. Skip down and look at our data. Does anybody see what the problem here is? We've made small increments since 2006, and we're worrying about getting kids into high school or into college right now. We need to be worrying about this right now. The same thing we've been talking about for years has not improved. Look at those math scores. And we want to keep talking about that, and what are we going to do about that? That's what I'm interested in. I want to know why this final column looks like it does compared to Norway's, who has been pretty much the same for the last 6 years, and ours goes up and down, but it always stays in that from the seventh grade down, eighth grade down. We've talked about this math problem, and it keeps cropping up. We talk about the reading problems, and it keeps cropping up. What are we doing? Are we doing anything to improve these things?
The good news is the schools that you just talked about, they're in this process. All the schools we went to are in the OIP process and utilizing it for years. Miami Trace has been in it for over 10 years, and they're just now seeing the fruition of that work, and that's why you start here.
So what are they doing different in math that we're not? What can we get out of doing all this? And I'm on board to do all this, but what are we going to gain from it?
The one thing they did, at each grade level, there was an expectation. And every student had to buy into it, and every teacher bought into it. You just can't go in and close the door and say, this is the way I'm going to do math, or this is the way I'm going to do reading. There's a program, there's a menu that will be established. And that's been some of our problems, Dave. We've got a lot of good things, but we don't zero in on two or three things and actually make sure that it works and be accountable for it.
Continuity. I was just going to jump on what Tim was saying right there. Is all of these schools that you see up there and their data is really quite outstanding. What Tim is saying is they started this process years ago, and so that's why they've been able to maintain, either get big jumps early on and then maintain or continue to improve each time, because they entered into that process. It's just not a process we entered into. We weren't ever at any point, to my knowledge, required by the state to enter into that process. We're not at this point required by the state to enter into the process. We're choosing to enter into the process so that we can become better. One of the consistent factors that Mr. Hawks is talking about is they zeroed in on a few things. But every one of those school districts knew their purpose, and their purpose was academics. Their purpose was student performance. And they were able to, even though they may be excelling in other areas, they were able to continue their mission of curriculum, academics, student performance. And that's, everybody knew that that was the purpose. And so that's just something I think that if we start into this process, we're going to be able to build more and more that culture of our purpose is about educating students. So we're hoping that this process is what's going to answer some of your questions, Mr. Hunter, about what are we doing? Let's do this and
Karen,
get better.
And that's great. And I hope this thing works out. But every year we get this report card, and every year we come up with something different that someone else has done, and they were in it before we were, and now look how good they are. What do we keep falling behind yet? We keep getting all this stuff implemented that other schools have done, but we never succeed at.
And we need to continue to just keep following through on a process.
I'm under the impression that step three in this whole thing where you've got that five-part wheel, somewhere in there is where we may need to do more, put more attention. You know, a couple years ago we implemented, even when a student comes into the third grade, they all get a test over math or socialist or whatever it was, so that the teacher knew where each kid was, and then, and then we had examples of some of the state questions that they have on their tests to kind of get them used to that, and nothing really happened with that data that was there. So that was one of the things that maybe fell out of that.
That's where the majority of the work is going to have to be in the teacher-based teams. That's where you're going to see your biggest improvements and your biggest benefits is that piece that you're talking
right.
about right now.
And I think that's key, that the teachers understand that, you know, that they need to constantly be looking at that, and that their team that they have, their teacher leaders or whatever you want to call them, that, you know, this is, they come up with something. And we kind of almost implemented something like that when we had the high school math teachers getting together with the junior high and then getting together with the elementary. Everybody was working together for this is the path that we want you guys to be working on, so when they get to us, we can lead them on to bigger and better things.
As the building leader at the elementary, I was at a Battelle for Kids. It was a great meeting today, and there were many schools that were in there, and what they were talking about was part of the OIP process, as well as what exactly they're doing to be successful. And some of my concerns and questions were, how am I going to get my teacher-based teams involved in what they're doing that's very clear and concise? Because it's not clear and concise unless you help them make it clear and concise. And that's hard for me, somebody who's just stepping into the elementary role. But I'm telling you, with the teacher-based teams that we have at the elementary, and with the information that I got today, and the templates, only through once Karen's seen them and Boone, I'm not trying to jump any steps, please don't hear that, you know, it's really going to happen at the elementary, because there's a lot of very positive things that will hold shareholders accountable and give them ownership.
And I think
so
I think we've got a good foundation so far with the last couple of years with some of the stuff that we've been doing, but I think maybe we need to strengthen that a little bit more, make sure that everybody's on board. You know, you get your principals knowing what the teachers are talking about, and you know, hey, this is what the rest of the principals are talking about, and that, you know, that has to be a little bit more, what's the right word? Well, stronger, you know, really to get that moving along.
This framework is very rigid in that regard. It provides structure for what you're talking about, the accountability for all the improvement processes in place. And that's step three that you were talking about, is let's review to see if we're actually doing what we said we were going to do, and it's working.
And all of those steps, all those people, the district, the administrators, and the teachers are all part of that wheel of, you know, are we sure we're making this work right for the students? Because I think that's key, that, you know, we're doing a lot of good things, but I don't think we're tying all those good things together efficiently.
And that's part of the problem, you know, is you have Race to the Top, you have the Continuous Improvement Plan, you have
AYP, you have all that.
Each group was doing this and had their goals. We need to bring them all and circle the wagons and bring them all together so we're all on the same, headed in the same direction,
so
with the same goals in mind.
Are we going to keep Race to the Top and High School for Works? You're going to keep all that?
All that be under the umbrella. Yes,
under the umbrella. Okay, but by the time they do Race to the Top and the CCIP and the HSTW, and then they're working on the OIP, where they have to identify kids, develop a plan, have a 5-step process, and review data, then they're also, these teachers are serving on teacher-based teams, building leadership teams, and district leadership teams. Are they going to have any time to teach?
Yeah, because that was one of the first things in our last meeting. We said we need to get a list together of all these teachers and who's serving on what committees to make sure they're not overburdened. And we have that list together that we're going to present to DLT at the next meeting and say, here's what we're doing and who's doing it, so we don't do what you just described.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think this is great, but, you know, they've got to have some time to teach in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And by the time they do, you alone, the five process, identifying kids, developing a plan, the 5-step process, reviewing the data, I mean, that's a lot in a day's work for a teacher of,
and
you
so
know, 20 kids to 25
data kids. Data is an ongoing thing. That's what we haven't been doing. We've had the data at our somewhat in our grasp, but we have not brought it out and said, hey, look, this has to happen. We have data now to tell you what percentage of kids is going to pass reading as a third grader.
And I'm totally on board with it. I'm just wondering if they're going to be able to, if the teacher is going to be able to do all this paperwork and all this other things that they've got to do, plus give the time to that student.
We're working smarter, not harder.
Okay.
How's that? Mm-hmm.
We have a framework for time in our schedule, especially at the elementary and intermediate, for teachers to have those meetings about those things that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they're having meetings, but they're not focused on those things. And so that will be, you know, part of my piece will be working with our principals to make sure they understand how those meetings need to operate so that they are very focused and that those things happen within the times that we already have designated for teachers to be working on those things.
Teachers and principals will meet almost, well, they will weekly, and they have somewhat an agenda of item that they go over. It's not a teacher's meeting, but it basically talks about what are the students doing, all the students, and how are they growing, what problems are we having, how do we adjust this, how do we adjust that. That's what's good about it.
Well, I think the other thing, and Trish has alluded to this, we had so much Linda, we've got all these things out there. We haven't been sitting on dead center for 6 years. We have moved ahead, and we've put a lot of things into place, but the thing that has changed, that if you take a look at education with OIP and Race to the Top and ODE's new evaluation forms that are out there for administrators, whether superintendent, treasurer, principals, or teachers, all of these things are now becoming aligned. And all of the things that the Trish has alluded to here, the goals are becoming actually smaller because we're including more rigor and what we expect to see from our kids, but instead of a shotgun approach, we're going to go to the rifle method so that we're hitting kids where they need to be. But I think the other thing we need to look at is we are making progress, we are coming along, and yeah, we've been behind. I could spend a couple hours on that and tell you that most of that problem is due to what's been sitting up here for our past history. And you've got some things up there that we need to work on. Community understanding. The culture in this community has got to change. We have got to educate parents. We have got to educate the people so that they understand the importance of education and the importance of what we're doing. Right now, we're asking them for $25. We spent, what, $3 million, put up new buildings, saved them $24 million, and they're coming back and saying, we ain't giving you no $25. You live in the buildings you got. Until you change that culture, you're going to have the same problem that this school district has had since the beginning of time. Every time we turn around, this school district is in another consolidation. Any school district that is continually in consolidation is there because you have a culture that does not value education. And that's something that we've got to change here if we expect our kids to grow and if we expect our community to grow, is we're going to have to educate our people. I think we've got an excellent opportunity here to do this because of what we've got in place, and we've just got to keep moving forward with it. As far as time teaching, where the kids are, what they know, what they need, that's all part of lesson planning. Teachers do that on a daily basis. They have done, our good teachers have done that for years, and that happens. I don't think we're taking a whole lot of time away with these committees in order to get teachers to do what they need to do, because a lot of them have been doing this. And I don't think that's going to take a whole lot more time than what they're spending now, and if they're not doing that, they're not teaching. One of the things that I did learn in school was if the student has learned, the teacher hasn't taught. It took me a while to buy that one. I always thought effort counted. And once you get in the classroom and you find out you got kids failing, don't blame the kid. The problem's at the head of the class. And we have the same thing here. We got a Board of Education, but until you got a community that takes a look at the leaders that they put on that Board of Education and quit sending people to the school board that have a personal agenda rather than the agenda of educating our kids, we're not gonna improve. But this comes back, and that's that community understanding, and that's a big, we've gotta work on that as well as, and this is why I keep pushing for spend a little bit of money on PR. Because we have got to get to the people in the community.
The bottom line, I think Dave has a question that sort of we looked at too. We do all these things, or we think we do all these things, and look at our results. That's very valid. So we're not going to continue to do what we're doing. We think some of the things that we have done have got us to the level where we are. If had we not done those things, we'd probably been off the chart.
Yeah, the whole point there was we just need to follow through. On one thing we say we're going to do, we need to follow through. And if this is it, we need to follow through with that. Because you can see, regardless, if we're not on zero, we haven't improved in the last 6 years. I know we've implemented quite a few things since then, have we not? This is the next great thing. This is the next great thing. We need to find something that's going to work, and we need to stick with it. Because kids aren't benefiting, and we're losing kids. We're losing a class every year. They graduate, goes to college, and they can't do, and then we have to hear that they're falling behind going into college. We must be doing something wrong here in a big way. And that's not fair to the kids.
To wrap up this on the process piece, this chart was developed early. We've kind of gravitated now towards the value added as the main oomph as to what we're going to be looking at. But we're not going to lose work we've done to this point. All these critical needs were developed by a brain trust of all the administration and races, top teachers and those folks coming together and saying, what are the critical needs? What are the most important things we need to address in this district under these four categories? And then from there, this is too small for you to read, but I'm just going to tell you, we said we identified the problem areas within those critical needs. So like within value added, we said accurately targeted intervention was a critical need. And within that, we said we need formative assessments. So you can see there's a lot of thinking that's going on through this process. The next slide shows what, I can't help you with this one, I don't know what's going on, but what it shows you is value added is our one of our high priorities right now focus areas. Targeted intervention was a critical need. Formative assessment was the main issue, was one of the main issues within critical needs. Now what are you going to do with that? The next step is you're going to develop goals to address value added. You're going to develop strategies to address targeted intervention. And you're going to change formative assessment as an action step. So you have to develop these processes and the strategies and action steps to address what you've identified as your problem, is what it comes down to. Basically, what's your problem? What are you going to do about it? In a nutshell. That's what the DLT is going to be working on. And as Karen said, it's going to be a much more limited area of focus. We're not going to have 40 things to work on. Let me just go right on past that. This was our first attempt at a SMART goal worksheet, talking about documenting what your plan is. So it's not going to be just a superintendent, a curriculum director, a lead teacher, a principal saying, I want to work on this, fix that. It's going to be driven out of DLT, BLT, and TBT. It'll be documented, and there'll be a follow-up at each meeting. The DLT meetings, BLT, and TBT meetings will follow up on these goals. And each level has their own goals that they have to develop. So I think that's the big difference when it comes to accountability. When you've documented it and you actually have scheduled meetings, you're going to follow up to see where you're at, you're more accountable. And that's the piece I think that maybe was not happening before.
And many of the school districts throughout the nation are going through what we're going through. No one's got the answer to this yet. Because I know in our DLT, and it was a surprise to me, I think somebody had mentioned, of the kids we send to college, 33% of those will graduate once they start. So it's not just Madison Plains that's struggling with this and kids going to college and getting frustrated not being able to make it through. There's one in three is actually graduating once they start.
Well, the other thing you have to look at there is the jobs that are available out there. There's really only one in three jobs that require that college education. We need to look at post-secondary education, and our goal here with this Common Core makes no difference whether a kid is college-bound or not. When the kid graduates from high school, they need certain skills. That's why we talk about the 21st century skills as being part of that. But we have to prepare every one of these kids for the world of work, not necessarily college. They have to be job prepared. They have to be prepared for post-secondary education, because most jobs today, no matter what you go into, if they're tied to technology, people are going to be going to school, whether it's a professional career in medicine, teaching, or anything that requires a college education. They're still going to have that technical education. that's out there, and they're going to have to get it, and we've got to prepare them. So our job, when manufacturing ran education, all they were looking for was the college graduate that you put in into the assembly line and make a product. Those jobs are being done by countries with different economies than ours, and if you want to work in this country and you want to be above the poverty level, you're going to have an education, and you're going to have technical skills that require not only good skills when you graduate from high school, but those that will allow you to go on and also to work with people so that we can work in the higher level of either manufacturing or service. But it's not going to be on the low end, it's going to be on the high end. Low-tech jobs, service jobs are always going to be here. Unfortunately, that high school diploma, which will get you in line to compete for those, probably won't make you any more than poverty-level wages. We've got to push our kids to a higher level.
This is where we're headed. We don't have all the answers, but we're going to try to zero in on and come down to, so we all understand what we're doing. As I said earlier, we're going to have a set menu, and that's what we're going to go from. A lot of this has not come from me, has not been our facilitator, Tim. The administrator has been very instrumental in wanting to attack this thing, to get a direction on it. Karen has given us good leadership with the curriculum end of it. And they've even come in here on Saturdays, and we've worked on this thing, and we will continue working. We meet weekly to look at another aspect of this thing to stay one step ahead of the DLT. When we bring parents in, we've got a skeleton to work from where we don't have to sit there and work it out. So it's our goal to have something in place for the board next school year. And it's not going to be a dictionary and an encyclopedia. It's going to be something that people can actually use. So that's where we're headed. That's what we've been working on, plus hundred other things. That's all I have. Thank you.
Does anyone have any other questions for Mr. Hall? Moving on to new business, so I have a motion for item number one.
Make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board employ Cassie Arnold as a tutor at a rate of $85 per day, effective January 28th, 2013, pending BCI and FBI background checks.
Second.
Motion by Linda, seconded by Ken. Discussion?
Just make a quick comment on that, Mike. A typical example of how we have 15, 25, 30 kids that are behind in Algebra 1 and basic math facts, and you go back and look at their grades, and they got A's and B's, but skill-wise, they just do not have it. This is why we had to bring this lady in to try to catch this particular group up, give them a shot in the arm to get them caught up a little bit. So thank you. I hope that'll go through.
Please call the roll. Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Do I have a motion for item two?
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board employ Kelly Durbin as substitute bus driver effective January 28th, 2013.
Do I have a second? I'll second. Motion by Ken, seconded by myself. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for item three.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board employ Kelly Stoughton on a 79-day contract as a school secretary guidance, step 5, effective February 19th, 2013.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Linda, seconded by Ken. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank
you. Do I have a motion for item 4?
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following academic supplemental contracts for the 2012-2013 school year as listed.
I'll second that.
Motion by Ken, seconded by Don. Discussion. Please call the roll.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Without a motion for item 5.
Mr. Chairman, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve the following athletic supplemental contracts for the 2013-14 school year, contingent upon receipt of the required paperwork. Varsity football coach, Jason Hunt.
I'll second. Motion by Don, seconded by myself. Discussion?
We don't have a step rate in here. Do you know what that's going to be yet? A rate of pay? There's nothing listed.
We have to wait to get all the papers
in
to see. But Jason comes to us from, had been a coach down at Washington Courthouse, been a coach at Miami Trace, coaches the little fellows all year in and year out, lives in Mount Sterling, part of the community, part of this school system, has three kids, Jason. In Madison Plains, he's the committee felt like he's the man to give our program a shot in the arm, and as I told all of them, I don't know why anyone would want to be a coach at all, but Jason, that didn't seem to dampen his enthusiasm. So at this time, let me introduce Jason Hunt. Jason, stand up, come up and
hello,
shake hands the board, if you don't mind, and say hello to them.
Hello, I'm Jason Hunt. Of course, I graduated from here in 1993, so getting a little bit older now, but not as old as some of you, because I've seen you around the community.
Oh, man. Should have waited for after the vote before you made that comment.
That would have been better,
Jason. For better or worse, though. But I obviously, this is an opportunity that I've wanted for a long time. I love Madison Plains School District, and I love Golden Eagle football program, and it'd be a real honor for me to be able to take over and do my very best to get a product out on the field that you can be proud of, but also develop our young men and athletically and otherwise, and really, hopefully, I like to talk about PR. Well, there's nothing better than having a nice, positive football team. And what other activity in this district do you bring the entire community together 5 nights a year, and it's on for a Friday night football game? So we'd like to obviously hopefully be successful on the field and increase interest, and you know, hey, what better way to spread good cheer than to win a Friday night football game? So,
Jason's a teacher in middle school, courthouse middle school, teaches social studies. Is very that's what impressed me the most. He was a teacher first, and I'm looking for a good coach, but first of all, I'm looking for a good teacher, and that's I think we've got both. So. Thanks, Jason.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Welcome. Glad you're here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do I have a motion for item number 6?
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the 2013-14 school calendar as presented.
Do I have a second? I'll second. Motion by Linda, seconded by myself. Discussion?
This seems really similar to the calendar that we had this year, right? I don't see much.
One change, the MPEA wanted to move the Thursday early release to Friday, which we said we could do. Basically, it's pretty much the same.
Well, I know we've had quite a few of those this year for this team building. Was part of that. I don't see too many of those in the next year's calendar.
First Friday of every month.
Is it the first Friday of every month? Oh, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, moving Thursday to Friday.
Gotcha.
And okay. What are they working on the first Friday of every month?
Different. that will be established in our DLT and BLT.
And the OIP.
Karen, do you want to?
Right now we are working on many race to the top efforts. For instance, last month teachers were working on writing their student learning objectives, which is one of the ways that they're going to be evaluated. Actually, we did that January and February. In previous months, we've had professional development, instructional professional development. this coming month, they're going to be working on professional development with formative instructional practices. So it's primarily professional development. I can see next year where, while we're still in the race to the top, there'll be race to the top efforts that we'll continue to work on, but we'll be bringing in to that in the Ohio improvement process pieces into that as well. So there's just a great deal out there that our teachers have to learn about, like every teacher in the state of Ohio right now, and so we use that time for that. And primarily we take that on a month to 2 month basis, planning ahead of time what that's going to be based on what our current professional development needs are.
Anyone else? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Brand?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Do I have a motion for item 7?
I move upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept the Madison County Interagency Agreement dated January 1st, 2013 between Miami Valley Child Development Centers Incorporated, the Head Start Program, and school districts in Madison County.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Don, seconded by Ken. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for item 8. I'll make a motion upon recommendation of superintendent, the board enter into an agreement with Accreed Daily Integrated Systems to install and furnish an access control system on exit doors for $49,000 as presented.
Second.
Motion by myself, seconded by Don. Discussion.
This takes care of all four buildings, right?
Yes. Okay. So I have a plan here if the board wants to look at it. It's laid out on our...
Who's providing the CAD drawings? Is that us that's providing those to them, or they're developing
we
those?
We did it with the company in conjunction with us.
Okay.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carried.
I have a motion for item 9.
I make a motion upon recommendation, superintendent, the board accept a bid from Edwin H. Davis for the purchase of 278 passenger Thomas built school buses at a total cost of $192,122.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Linda, seconded by Don. Discussions?
Do we absolutely have to have these right now? I mean, we're trying to get a levy through.
Well, it's part of our.
I know it's part of the plan to keep that going, but do we have to absolutely have it right now?
I think we need to continue to get 2 a year until we can.
Pay me now, pay me later.
That's a big chunk of money.
Yes, it is.
It's,
yeah, the one you talk about, the levy, Dave, this actually, purchasing these actually shows where that money goes to. I don't think delaying it hurts it, or going ahead with it hurts at all. I think you actually demonstrate what the money is being used for.
Please call the roll.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for item 10.
Mr. President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board accept an articulation agreement with Southern State Community College for articulation of advanced credit for post-secondary program agricultural production for relevant high school courses as presented.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Ken, seconded by Don. Discussion?
This. How many courses are we looking at here, Chris?
Southern State is, the kids got to go through the highest amount of classes we can offer as far as ag. So they've got to take like a freshman ag class, a sophomore ag class, and then a third year, because ag has changed now. Uh-huh. Where you've got to go through basically a 3-year cycle. So like if a kid graduates their senior year in animal science, then someone's basically going to transfer it to their animal science class. If a kid goes in crop science, they're going to transfer to their crop science class. If it went through the mechanics class, they're going to transfer it to the mechanics class. It's similar, like just like what Wilmington's doing,
okay.
And then what Clark State's doing as well. Your vocational programs have got to have agreements with a college in place for those kids when they leave high school level.
So this is what, the third or fourth college?
This is the third college we've been able to branch with. Probably the one everybody keeps asking is like Ohio State's hands off. Ohio State won't touch anything in agriculture education in Ohio. So we've been searching for other schools. We're close. We're probably going to have one with Moorhead, just to give you an idea.
So this will give our ag students more opportunities to go to different colleges.
Correct.
Throughout, instead of concentrating and having them all go to one college, they can spread out a little bit.
You know, and if a kid, let's say a kid, we have some students in ag that they're gung-ho ag, and they're taking animal science and crop production, or they're taking the animal science and the mechanics class. What will happen then is their senior year, if they were to go to Southern State, they should end up with about 6 to 8 hours of the credit in an agricultural major that's already going to transfer since they've been to Madison Plains because of the agreement.
Okay. Please call the roll. Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I'll make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent the board approve the following donations: $4,734.75 from the Golden Eagle Complex renovation to the Permanent Improvement Fund, $1,000 from the National FFA Foundation to the high school FFA account, and $200 from Margaret Joslin to teacher incentive grant.
Second.
Motion by myself, seconded by Ken. Discussion?
That is all the Golden Eagle Complex for the bleachers. That's all the funds, so that's all we're going to get out of there. Working on a spreadsheet on exactly how much they brought in to contribute toward that project. Okay.
How much is left? We know yet.
That's it. Everything is that's everything they had in there. They drew it out and closed the account.
Please call the roll. Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Stronger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
At this time, I'd like to make a motion to enter into executive session at 8:29 for the purpose of the following: under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 1 and Section 4. Or I'm sorry, Section 5. 1 and 5. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by myself, seconded by Don. Please call the roll.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Do not have a time frame for the executive session. However, there will be no action taken after that. The next regular meeting will be March 12th at 7 p.m.